Hello and welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 93, Hanukkah. I kind of lost my knitting mojo for a while after finishing Tappan Zee. I love the sweater, but I just kind of like lost it after that. I don't know why. No idea what happened, but I don't think I was in the mood for yet another shawl. And the only thing I have on the needles or had on the needles at the time were shawls, shawls, and more shawls. So instead, I did the cowl from the Seven Wonders Yarn Club in like 3 days. It's a small project. It's done in really bulky yarn, so really easy to knock that one off in just a couple of days. And then I went to the mittens from the same club from the prior shipment. So I think the mojo's returned. Those are a lot of fun, by the way. They are convertible mittens, so you have the flap that goes over the fingers or it can flap back and tie to a little button and then be fingerless mittens. But the funny thing is the very last part says you have one stitch left on the needle. You're to yarn over. You're to move the stitch that you had over the yarn over and do this like 10 times. I was struggling with this for the longest time before I realized that was just a chain stitch. Grab the crochet hook in the similar diameter, chain 10, and that was it. It took me about a half an hour trying to figure this out, trying to finagle it before I realized what was going on. Then my coworker kind of sort of hinted he'd like some fingerless gloves. So I grabbed a ball of Encore. And for some odd reason, I'm right now on an Encore kick. I know not why. And he's getting a pair of Dashing. And I'm making a pair of Fetching for myself because the office, it gets really, really cold. And we're going to have a week where almost everybody's out. So their computers are shut off and there's no body heat or there's much less body heat. So what that results in is just a much colder office environment because they heat it as if everyone's there and they're not. So he's getting fingerless gloves and so am I. We're the only two in my department that are actually going to be in that week. Another coworker wanted to learn how to knit, and I agreed to teach her. She'd been suggesting that she wanted to learn for a while, so she asked me to teach her, and then she decided not. And it seems like it finally hit strongly enough that she really, truly wants to learn. And she's really impressive. I started her with the Knit On Cast On, because once you have that, you've got most of the knit stitch anyway. It's just less to learn going into it. And I showed her maybe two stitches and let her go with it for a while. She was having problems moving the stitch back onto the needle. She kept putting it on in the wrong orientation. So I showed her one more time and that was it. She got it from there. And then she cast on with actually a pretty light tension, not too tight, not too loose, just good. And then I showed her the knit stitch, which she was very happy to find out. She pretty much already knew. And I knit two stitches and handed her the needles, and she was off and running. She's bypassed most of the pitfalls that befall a newbie on their first two rows. Like at one point, she finished the second row, and then when she went to knit back the third row, there was that V of the needle being the stitch being the wrong way, so you could knit into both sides of the V rather than into the actual stitch. She spotted that instantly and moved the yarn into the right position. She comes to me now every so often, and she's put in an extra yarn over, or she let somebody else knit on it for a while, and that person purled instead of knit, which is not such a good thing with garter stitch. And I have to fix it for her, but she's doing pretty well, so I'm pretty excited about this. She's going to be a really good knitter one of these days. She's going to be a really good knitter soon. Next project I'm going to start on, of course, will have to have purl in it. I'm thinking a hat. To me, that's the quintessential second project. It teaches decreases, it teaches purls, it has ribbing, it has stockinette, and it teaches seams. That's almost everything. I don't remember where I heard it, but I've heard that when there is a Republican in the White House, knitting ascends. When there's a Democrat in the White House, crochet ascends. This happens about half the time and could pretty much be ascribed to just a flip of the coin or just random chance. But it seems right now crochet is in ascension, which I think is really, really cool. And I'm trying to knock some of the rust off of my crocheting skills. I've been working on a pair of slippers, and it's done in the round. I keep magically adding stitches or magically deleting stitches. I'm not even sure what I'm doing anymore. I have to start counting them. It's been a really, really long time since I've dug heavily into crochet. And there's going to be a Corelli crochet along, and Stitch Stud, a.k.a. Charles Both, is writing the pattern. It's inspired by Baroque music. It's a three-clue crocheted lace scarf done in lace weight yarn. I haven't crocheted with lace weight, but for one or two projects, with a size C hook. I'll link in the show notes. It looks like this one's going to include a lot of hand-holding. It starts in February, so I've been looking around the projects area of Ravelry for just lots of crochet patterns to practice on. I found another slipper pattern. I found a hat pattern. I'm thinking I may just do a really simple single crochet shawl. You know, the you do a chain for as long as you want the shawl to be. You cut it. You single crochet across the whole thing. You cut it. You leave like 6 inches of yarn on either side. You get an automatic fringe. It's kind of cool. You can change colors as you like and do whatever kind of patterning, work with colors as you see fit with the thing. It's a simple pattern. It's a fun pattern. It's an easy pattern. And it's probably something that I'm going to use at some point soon to just really get back into it. My roommate wants me to finish Lizard Ridge already. I've been working on that for about a year, I think. So that has to hit the needle soon, or at least the next square has to hit the needle soon. So yeah, I think my knitting mojo is back, and we're in Hanukkah now, which is a very, very lucky holiday. On its own, it's as insignificant as it comes. It's on the level with Arbor Day or National Maritime Day. It's not commanded in the Torah. It's not all that major. The major holidays are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Passover, Simchat Torah, that sort of thing. This one is pretty low down on the totem pole. The story in brief. Antiochus ordered the Jews to abandon Judaism. Judas Maccabee and his four brothers wouldn't have any of it. They led a revolution, and in 3 years they overthrew the Syrian king and regained Israel, or at least they threw him out of Israel. He continued to rule the rest of his empire pretty much unbothered. When they tried to resanctify the Holy Temple, they found a one-day supply of the oil that should have been kept burning continually, and it would have taken them 8 days to make more. A sane person would have waited 7 days and then lit the menorah, and by the time the oil ran out, the next batch would have been ready, but they were in a hurry, and let's be honest, a sane person wouldn't have risen up against the Syrian Empire to begin with. So they lit it right away. And the miracle of Hanukkah is that it burned for 8 days. We don't much celebrate the miracle of the Maccabees defeating the Syrians, which was really remarkable, just the miracle of the oil. And this could easily have been forgotten, but it lucked out in falling right around Christmas. This year, it's December 2nd to December 9th, and the holiday starts the night before, so you light the number of candles equal to the day of the month, which is convenient for remembering. You fill the menorah, not in some artistic way, like symmetrically or in funny patterns or whatever cute thing that people seem to like to do with the electric menorahs. I know not why. But from right to left, the same as you read Hebrew, you light the center candle first. That's the shamash, the helper candle. It's actually not a sacred candle. It's just sort of like a helper. Then you light the new day candle. Then you light the rest, starting with day one. I've seen some people fill in that order and then light newest first, and go left to right. The candle should be long enough to burn for at least a half an hour after nightfall, but it is highly advisable not to light a latke instead, because those actually will burn for 8 days, if not longer. Incidentally, while Jews with pyromaniac tendencies love this holiday, I'm slightly pyrophobic, so this one makes me nervous. If you have cats, and I've learned this from experience, lock them in another room before lighting the candles. Cats have no natural fear of fire, but funny glowy things tend to attract their attention. It's an echo of things in the Bible that it is so lucky, that the holiday itself has that kind of a luck, because the Bible is filled with a recurring theme of the low being brought high. And this is arguably the lowest, least important, least significant of the Jewish holidays. And yet, just by chance, just by divine will, just by blessing, it's brought out to become one of the best known. The fun part's the dreidel. The teaching goes that in the time when the study of Torah was contraband, the children would put away their studies and pretend to be playing dreidel when Antiochus' soldiers came by. A friend of mine likes to point out that they probably put away their dreidels and pretended to be studying Torah when the rabbi came by, but be that as it may, these are the rules of the game. Each player puts a candy into the pot, and player one spins the dreidel. If it lands on Nun, he does nothing. If it lands on Gimel, he takes all the candy in the pot. If it lands on Hay, he gets half the pot rounded up. If it lands on Shin, he puts a candy on the pot. If you're in Israel, there won't be a Shin, but a Pay, and you do the same thing. But of course, if you're in Israel, you probably aren't listening to a podcaster from New York telling you how to play dreidel. Play continues until all of the playing pieces, except of course for the dreidel, are eaten. Eating the dreidel is not recommended, and generally neither is eating the latkes. If you've never had latkes, real Hanukkah latkes, the way they're made is you take potatoes, you grind them up really fine and soak them in oil. Now you grate up some onions and soak them in oil. Oil is a big theme here. The whole purpose of this holiday centers around the miracle of oil. There's going to be oil everywhere. Then you beat 3 eggs and you heat up some oil in a pan. You mix the potatoes and the onions to make patties. You dip those in the egg, the flour, or oil. And you put them in the heated up oil to fry until they're golden brown. Careful not to set the kitchen on fire. Incidentally, and this is actually for real, don't use water on an oil fire. Use the koshering salt to smother it instead. Every household should have a box of koshering salt. It's just really good for putting out those kinds of fires. Also, when the latkes come out, let them drip on a paper towel. Never pour the oil down the sink. It's going to clog the sink over time. Also something I know from experience. You want to line a plastic bag with the paper towels enough to absorb all the oil, and then pour the oil onto that. Add extra towels if you need to, and then just throw all of that out in a manner appropriate for combustible garbage. Once that's done, call a cardiologist just to be sure and eat them if you dare. The modern miracle of Hanukkah is how many people can manage this feat without ending up in the emergency room every year. If you can't wring out the latke, you didn't use enough oil. Odd bit of cross-cultural fun. The traditional gift given to children is chocolate coins called gelt. This year I've been seeing a lot of Hanukkah gelt stamped with the image of Santa Claus. I find this really cute. Also, if you're knitting frantically for the holidays, I just wanted to remind you there are 12 days of Christmas and December 25th is only the first. So grab the extra knitting time where you can get it, right? Good luck. Have a wonderful holiday season, and until next time, be blessed and keep knitting.